That's a great song. Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Turn your Bibles two portions of scripture today. One is Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Psalm 37. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to preach today. I've entitled the message, so this is something you can maybe focus on, is the big picture. What a title for a sermon. I was telling somebody out in the vestibule there, we were kidding around, but we were talking about the Lord coming back. That's the big picture, amen. But I remember talking to somebody, and they said to me, well, I hope he doesn't come back until I get my income tax return. So I think they lost sight of the big picture, amen. But we will read in Psalm 37, and let's go to verse 23. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The psalmist had seen something. And that was because of years of experience and knowing the Lord. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we will, this is what's called the love chapter in the Bible, the chapter on charity. And it is just packed full. But let's start in verse 1. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Before I continue, the last part of chapter 12, Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Then you have the chapter on charity. And if you go to chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, follow after charity. So this chapter is sandwiched in between those two statements. That's how important this is. If we don't have charity, it doesn't matter what we do. It profits nothing. Because it's all about our attitude. It's all about our motives. The Bible goes on and says in verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Good description. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And that's a blessing, even though it's in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's talking about spiritual maturity. But let's ask God to bless his word today. Father, please minister to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of it, how the Spirit will help us today to speak it and to hear it and to obey it. And may we glorify you. May we honor you in our service and then with our lives, Father. Thank you for all you've done for us. Bless the word now in Jesus' name. Amen. The big picture. Sometimes there's a lot of trivial stuff that takes our eyes off of the Lord or off of what's really important. There's a book out, I think there's a couple of them, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff. That's the title of the book. I think that's a good title. there's a lot of terminology that we use in describing some of these principles. For example, picture this. We use that phrase. That's where we use our imagination, and maybe we draw from experience or what we've seen or heard, and we picture something, and then we make a determination. We call it using your mind's eye. How about this? What's wrong with this picture? And what you're trying to do is something doesn't look right. So you say, what is wrong with this picture? How about this one? A picture's worth a thousand words. And it is, because a picture is something that every individual can look at, and some people, this is important, some people, this is important. But it can be described in a number of ways, so it's worth a thousand words. Let me paint you a picture, because you don't understand, you know? And so let me, sometimes that's said sarcastically, let me paint you a picture, right? Honey, go clean the garage. Let me paint you a picture. And how about this one? Do I have to draw you a picture? You know? Oh, you're laughing. That's, you use that one. Okay. Here's one. You are a picture of what you once were. Now, when we get the photo album out, you know, and we look at that photo album, we can see when we were children, teenagers, you know, young adults, whatever, with different experiences. And we can be a picture of what we once were, but we might not be. So anyway, you're not a picture of what you once were. How about this one? The picture is out of focus. There can be two reasons for that. It can be the fault of whoever has presented the picture. And for any knowledge on that, we ask our professional photographer, Mike, and we can get all the advice we need. But it might be that, but with God, God's pictures are always perfect. Amen? So it might be our ability or inability to focus on the picture. There's all kinds of ways that you can think about that. There are three places in the Bible where the word pictures is used. Three. Only three. Two of them are negative, but I want to look at the positive one. And that says in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. It's talking about a word fitly spoken. And then it presents this wonderful spirit and this picture of charity, of kindness, of something that would be desirable. How about if we say the heavens declare the glory of God? It's a word. It's being declared. That's the big picture, is it not? The heavens declare the glory of God. When you think about eternity. And, you know, they're finding so many things out now about the universe. They're saying that the black hole is now a portal to another universe. I mean, I can't even wrap my mind around that, you know. But we always talk about where the end of the universe is when you hit the wall and then what's on the other side of the wall. There's no understanding that. And that's so big. That's the big picture. It's eternity. It's eternity. Think of that. Somebody said, we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. And so if we're carnally minded, this is our picture that we look at. This is what we see. If we're spiritually minded, we can see a different picture. Amen? And there's so many examples of that, but let me talk about a couple things first. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. So we have to have some spiritual eyesight. We walk by faith. And not by sight, not by physical sight. So when we focus on spiritual things, we see what God wants us to see. He's painting a picture. And so we want to see what he has to say. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's a pretty big statement. In Jeremiah 51:15, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heaven by his understanding. Okay, that's a big picture. God created all things. He spoke the worlds into existence. And so because of that, Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. That big picture, if we understand it, if we see it, can just be narrowed down to our little life. And now there's nothing too hard for God. Amen? And so there's so many promises of the Lord. Do you see who is for you, or do you see who is against you? Now, we're fighting, and you might be thinking of a physical enemy, but we're talking about the spiritual enemy, because the enemy of our souls is the devil. Amen? And he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But the Lord used the word to defeat him. And so we do the same thing. But in Exodus chapter 14, the Israel was just delivered out of Egyptian bondage. And they're now at the Red Sea. And they look behind them because the sea is still the sea. And it's like blocked their escape to freedom. And they look back and they say, behold the Egyptians. That's what they saw. They didn't see how God had delivered them 10 times already. And then here they are. Here's another obstacle. And they said, behold the Egyptians. And so the Lord says, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you. Don't look at the Egyptians. Look at me. Amen. So many times we look at the things that are against us, and we should look at who is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you see the storm or the reason for the storm? Sometimes we don't see the big picture. Sometimes the trial of our faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. And it might be tried unto honor and glory of God. So we have a trial in our life, and a lot of times we look at that rather than the purpose for the trial. We look at the storm rather than the purpose of the storm. Stormy wind fulfilling his word, Psalm 148. So somewhere, when those storms come up, there's a purpose in that. We have the disciples in Mark chapter 4, and Jesus says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And then after that, Jesus speaks the word, and well, I'll just read it. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Between the storm and the calm was his word again. So here's another picture for us, okay? But if we don't see the picture, then we can't glean something from it. It's just something that might depress us, you know? Do you see the denial of your prayer or the reason for the denial? God never makes any mistakes. And sometimes he doesn't answer our prayer right away, or maybe he answers it in a different way than we were asking. You know, John chapter 11, here's Mary. You know, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. Martha said the same thing at a different time. If you had been here, our brother had not died. But before the Lord ever went, the disciples were depressed because, you know, Lazarus is dead. And Jesus said this. He said, this sickness is for the glory of God. So even in that great trial, even in that denial of somebody's prayer, God's will is being done. Amen? It's just what we see and what we look at. I think that's so important for us. I want to speak today about the purpose of God and the providence of God. Because God has a purpose in everything that's going on, and we'll see his providence in everything that's going on. He makes that promise. Experience is a great teacher. Amen? If you did it wrong once, you shouldn't do it wrong twice. Amen? And there are things people have bought, don't buy that. There's things people have done, don't do that. And sometimes old age is very, very wise. Of course, it depends on what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you've learned. If you've seen many days, you've learned a lot. But you could learn the wrong as well as the right. The old have their regrets, but they also have precious memories. And so there's wisdom gleaned from older people. Amen? And I think that's a blessing when that happens. We can take somebody's advice. They've proven the word of God if they're Christians. They've seen God work in their life. And so they're able to share that experience with somebody else. Amen? They're able to paint a good picture. Not one of doom and gloom, but one of victory, one of peace, one of comfort. Well, this is how I was comforted. This is what God did for me. That's a testimony, and it paints a picture. When somebody is baptized, it's a picture. Not, it doesn't use the word, but it is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So here's another picture. Here's another statement. Oh, they're just getting wet. Oh, the church just wants your money. Oh, that religion is this or the religion is that. No, it's a picture of the gospel. Amen? And somebody's dedication and belief in that. Paul said in verse 9 of Philemon, he said, being such an one as Paul the aged. Think of what Paul had seen in his life. Think of the miracles. Think of the help. He said, I'm nervous. I'm trembling. I'm weak. But my strength and my power is in God. And I've seen him work over and over and over. That's what Paul tells us over and over in the scriptures. And so that's the picture that he paints. So when we read the epistles, we see that in the life of Paul. We see it in David. David has seen the hand of God. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God's going to take care of you. So we see those principles. But not only do older people see the good, but they see the bad. And there are all kinds of bad pictures out there. For example, Job chapter 4 and verse 8, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Galatians chapter 6, the Bible talks about you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow the wrong thing, you reap the wrong thing. If you sow the right thing, you reap the right thing. I used to tell new converts in our church, they'd come in and their lives were a wreck and they're reaping because of health, because of finances, because of family, all kinds of problems. And I said, I would take them to these verses because if you've sown a life of sin, many times, there's a reaping that's going on, and sometimes it's for a pretty long time. But the only way to change that circumstantially is to start sowing righteousness. But if you went out and you had a crop of weeds and you were going to put grass in there, there's a couple things you'd have to do. You'd have to stop sowing weeds, amen, and start sowing good seed. And then it takes a while to grow up. Right, Lynn? I mean, the grass outside takes a while to grow up. But anyway, you know, you have to sow good things. But I've seen that. Psalm 37, 35. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. And sometimes the wicked are in power. Ecclesiastes 6, 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. And then it goes into that. So we see good and we see bad. Amen? We see pictures of grace and mercy and love and righteousness, and we see pictures of debauchery and sin and all kinds of evil things. Well, as time passes, you observe a lot. And if we can keep our eyes on the Lord, we will see or recognize that big picture, the real scope of what's going on. Sometimes we get tunnel vision, and it's so narrow that we don't see what we need to see. Psalm 44 and verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. Psalm 78, 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And there's more verses that deal with that. But it's talking about what righteous people have seen in the past. And I think that's important. Truths are none the worse for being old truths. We sing the song, you know, tell me the old, old story. It's a good story. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. Truths are none the worse for being often repeated. And we repeat those truths because God said line upon line, precept upon precept. So we just keep telling the same story. Amen? Because that's where the picture is painted. You know, that's where we see God in his glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Here's the gospel, and it's a glorious gospel, and it's well lit, amen, it's bright, it's just wonderful. But because somebody's eyes are blinded, they cannot see that picture. And so their picture is really different. I mean, if we could see the big picture, I'm going to heaven. One day, I'm going to be in heaven for all eternity. And man, that's good to think about. Amen? And because down here, there's a lot of troubles. I'm not saying I want to go today, amen? But what I'm saying is there's no fear of that in the spiritual sense. And it's because of the eye of faith. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. But when he's born again, he can see. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So we know we see it by faith, and we trust God for it. We walk by faith, not by sight. This is a deep, mysterious truth. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And if you sometimes just take that verse and just meditate on that verse and let God show you in your mind's eye what's going on there, and maybe some other verses will pop in your mind, and run them down and just take some time looking at that picture. It's wonderful. Amen? It's wonderful all that God has done. It's deep. It's mysterious. And we know that his ways are higher. We know that his thoughts are higher. And so we believe what he says by faith. Somebody said, oh, that's too good to be true. No, it's good, and it is true. Amen? But it's a blessing if we know that. There's a fellow by name Derrickson, and he wrote a book, one of many, Notes on Theology and Eschatology, you know, in the study of future events, etc. He wrote this in his book. Don't get worried if you become a little overwhelmed or confused in this section. You can come back to this section as you read the other topical studies and refresh yourself concerning the topic and where it belongs in the big picture. So here's the rapture, but that's part of the big picture. Amen? Here's the second coming. That's part of the big picture. Here's heaven. That's part of the, I mean, it's so wide. It's so vast. We could think about it over and over and over and just be thrilled with it. Amen? That's where the psalmist said, when I was musing, while I was musing, the fire burned, because you cannot see this and not be affected by it. Who was it that, Moses. All right, Moses spent some time with the Lord. And remember, he came down and his face shone. I mean, it was so bright he had to put a veil over it. Amen? Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there's a miracle there. He's transfigured and his glory is there. Those men never forgot that. You have Stephen. He's preaching the sermon and they're going to get ready to stone him. But he had the face like the face of an angel. I mean, you when you see these things, it changes your life because now everything is in perspective. Amen? Because you have the big picture. I think it's neat to see that. Sometimes we live life like we're watching a parade through a fence knothole, and we see one float at a time. Boy, just get up on top of the fence. Amen? And you see all this good that's coming, and you see where it's going. Change your life. Amen? Spend some time in the book. The eternal purpose of God. What is that? Have you ever thought about that? Why am I here? What should I be doing with my life? What is life all about anyway? You know? Where did I come from? Well, I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. My ancestors didn't swing from a tree, etc., etc., all how the song goes. God created. Amen? Okay, so there is a purpose. You ever read those verses? Get a concordance and just look up the word purpose and go through the scriptures and it'll paint a picture. Amen? What am I here? Well, another day in the coal mine, another day at the car wash, you know, and whatever. Working in a coal mine, going down, 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 you know. You want me to sing that for you? No, I'm not going to do it. It's a great song. Amen. But I mean, what is my purpose in life? It's so empty. It's not empty. No, we were created for something. Amen. Listen to just a sampling of these verses. Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the context shows that's affecting us. We have 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, verse 10, but now is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wow, that's a bright light. Amen. But the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They can't see how bright that light is. They can't see how glorious that is. And that is our purpose. It was Christ's purpose to come to die for us so we could be saved and then take that message everywhere. It's a glorious message. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And how does he do that? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may fight against the devil and the powers of darkness and have a victory there. Why was man created? Why were you created? Well, I was created because I am God's gift to the world. Wrong answer. It's the wrong answer. I think there's another person. Why were you created? You ever think about that? What is God's purpose for me? Here's a short answer. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You have Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, and we will be with the Lord and praise him for eternity. We were created to please him. Amen? That's what we were created for. And this is our purpose. And when we see that like it is, it's a glorious truth. It adds meaning to life. So the purpose of God. How about the providence of God? Man, if you've been a Christian any length of time and you've seen these things, you've seen his hand over and over and over and over and over. And so when we as believers who have seen God, I don't mean physically. I mean, we've seen his glory. We've seen his answer to prayer. We've seen his providence in our life. We can take that testimony, and it paints a picture for somebody. Amen? It's not, woe is me, and this is, man, what's going on in the world now? God, there's a purpose for all of this. Well, this is bad, and that's bad, and this is bad. Yeah, but there's something good in all of this. And rather than paint a bad picture, it's like, maybe I've used this here, I believe I did when I first came, but if you take an artist and he's painting a picture and he's painting a mountain scene and there's a valley and the sun is down and there's a little bit of moonlight, but it's snow and it's cold and it's just a depressing, depressing scene. And here's a cabin and there's no light in it, and it's like, it looks like it's a deserted cabin, and it's in the middle, all this snow. It's just a depressing, depressing place. And then the artist takes his brush and he dips it in yellow paint, and he brings it over to a window, and he just, one little dab, now the whole picture has changed. Amen? Now there's a refuge there. Now there's a warm, inviting place from the elements. Now there's a place of safety, because there's a light inside. There's a fire inside. And it changes the whole picture. Amen? Well, I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, boy, it's bad. I just don't know. It's never been this bad before. I think we just might as well jump off the bridge. You know? Let's go hide like Elijah. You know, the Lord knows, and this may be a good time to win some people to Christ. Amen? They might be thinking about this. They might, you know, there's a lot of depressed people. There's a lot of suicides right now. Boy, if they only had an answer, amen? Do you know we could be the answer? We could be the ones that take heart, be encouraged. The Lord's coming again. Amen? But you have to see that picture or know of it to paint it. The providence of God. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. You could quote it. We all know it. But it says all things work together for good. You have Genesis 50 and verse 20. This is towards the end of Joseph's testimony. And he said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. What a story. I mean, all that Joseph went through for this, to save much people alive. He had a dream, and in that dream, he painted a picture, amen? And God blessed because of that. Think of the life of Job. Think of the life of Jonah. Think of the life of Jesus. And all of the suffering, all of the trial. Here's Jonah, and he says, I'm not going to that town. They're the enemies of Israel. I'm going the other way. And you know the story. But God did this. I wouldn't want to be in the belly of a whale. Amen? I wouldn't want to be anywhere near a whale. I've seen these shows where they go whale watching, you know, and the whale comes up pretty close to their boat or whatever. Not me. Not me. You stay out of sight. I don't even want to see you. Amen? Unless the boat's a lot bigger than the whale. But, I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to go through that. But because he went through that, a whole city got saved. Amen? Think of what Paul went through. God told Paul at Corinth, I have much people in this city. So, the providence of God, where does he take us? What do we go through? What's the purpose of that? The Lord is pleased. There's great joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And if we were created for his pleasure, that's a great way to bring pleasure to the Lord. Amen? Winning somebody to the Lord. There are all kinds of big telescopes out there, and they're taking pictures of space. And I've read about some of that, and they took one picture from space where we sent a telescope out into space, or one of them little gizmos, I call them. Amen? That's a good old-fashioned term, right? Gizmo? And so this gizmo out in space takes a picture of Earth from, I don't know, billions of miles away. And it's a little blue dot. And there's all these stars and all these planets, and there's a little blue dot. And sometimes we focus on the little blue dot, and it's so expansive. Man, I used to take a 3x5 card, and I'd hold it up. Before I held it up, I'd take a pen and put a little dot, and I'd say, what do you see? And people that didn't know that, they would invariably say, I see a dot. And I said, what about all this that's around it? And sometimes we just get focused on the wrong thing. The picture depends on who's painting the picture. And the devil can say, you know, well, the Lord, you know, he means it for this and that. He deceived Eve and Adam. Or Eve with that. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It's important that we focus on the right thing, not what's going on in the world. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You'd be surprised how the focus of so many, like Psalm 73, is just on this world and the things of this world and not on Christ. I think the most familiar story is 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha prayed for his servant that God might open his eyes, that he might see who was for them rather than who was against them. Elisha was not in any trouble. He knew from what he saw that there was going to be a victory that day. He was not worried, but his servant was, and it all had to do with what they saw. It has to do with what we see. The world's art gallery is filled with sports figures. Who's the guy, one of the richest men in America, had his name there. Not him, neither one. Microsoft. Bill Gates. And wow, man, if I could only be Bill Gates. I wouldn't want to be Bill Gates. wouldn't mind having his money, but but I no, I and what would I do if I had his money? Man, wouldn't it be fun to just send missionaries all around the world, find out who's called to preach and build them churches? And I mean, wouldn't that be fun? Amen. I mean, what does somebody do with $8 billion? I don't know, but I know what I'd do with it. I promise you, I'd take everybody here to McDonald's. Treats on me. Anything you want. 2 milkshakes, it's up to you. Amen. Open thou mine eyes that I may see wondrous things out of thy law. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. What is our focus? 2 Corinthians 4:6. I'll be done in a minute. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. His grace, his mercy, his love, his power, his goodness, these are all part of this big picture. Man, and that light is shining in our heart. If we've seen it, amen? If we've seen it, there's always another picture that is painted. Maybe your job, your possessions, your health, your popularity, your plans. But when we look at the purpose and the providence of God, we see a completely different picture. I think that's a blessing. What's the greatest thing that could happen to a Christian? Well, that I'd be healthy. Well, that's a good thing to ask for. Well, that I would win the lottery. People pray about that, you know. They pray about that. And if you win the lottery, tithe. Amen? But okay, I'm being funny here, but, you know, what would be the greatest thing that could happen to a Christian? Salvation, but to a Christian. He's already a Christian. Good answer. Do what? Bringing somebody to God. Bringing another person. And that's the whole purpose of the gospel. God saves us. We get other people saved. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we're living for him and we're living with him. Amen. There we are. That's what it's all. That's the picture. That's the big picture. You've come to church today. What kind of experience did you have? Well, he's preached too long again. You know? Or whatever. But you know what? If we can say God has taken an imperfect person and spoken to an imperfect person with a perfect book, where we can receive whatever God has for us, because he's chosen preaching, teaching. It's in the Bible. Somewhere in the service, by you being here, God spoke to you. God. Think of that picture. Amen? And I've said it a number of times, if we put on our sign outside, Jesus was speaking today, and if that was possible, or the Apostle Paul was, if the Apostle Paul was speaking today and that were possible, you'd probably fill the place up. Amen? But it's just little old me, but it's this. Amen? So God wanted to paint a picture today, and it just depends on the picture you have seen. Not on who's painting it, but what you see from it. I hope you see something. You know, putting something in an offering, supporting a missionary, amen? What's the big picture? Well, I can't do this or I can't do that. But what about this missionary on a foreign field winning some little child to Christ? Amen? Or the gospel going out from this church. And we'll get through all of this. We'll get through all the COVID and all that stuff, you know, however God wants us to. But there's a bigger picture than getting through COVID. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you. Thank you for the light that is shown in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now to see that picture, that we might glorify you. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.